29th, 2013, I think. I don't know. The closet I fell into earlier might have been a time machine. I can't tell these things anymore, so I'm just kind of going with whatever the hell. This is Pure Decking. This is a show about stuff that interests me. I'm stumbling all over the intro here. I'm Morps, and tonight we've got BSV, Madman, RU46, Sard, and Suave. The liver is evil and must be punished. I'm punishing mine with Arrogant Bastard Ale, Goat Arrogant Bastard Ale, with a Long Island Iced Tea Chaser. How are you guys punishing your livers?
Beer and iced tea?
Long Island Iced Tea.
That's a weird combo. Are you punishing your taste buds as well as your liver?
Actually, it works out quite well. The Arrogant Bastard is a bit more bitter, and so the tea kind of clears that up.
Well, I'm having a big glass of disappointment ordered to me by my mother.
Ooh.
No, coffee.
Lots of bucket of coffee.
Because I don't shake nearly enough.
I'm still confused as to whether Madman understood that what I'm drinking is not actually tea.
No, I know a Long Island Iced Tea is an alcoholic beverage that doesn't contain any tea at all if you ever watch a bartender make it.
Okay, just making sure. Thard, what do you got?
Shock Top.
As per usual?
Yes.
12.
Unfortunately, I have nothing tonight.
Wrong show. Big, what do you? Or Big's, Big's just monitoring. BSV, what do you reckon?
You should know that by now. I'm just punishing my liver the old-fashioned way by punching it.
It's cheaper and it's a workout as well.
Nothing says love like pissing blood. Wait a minute, that's your kidneys. Don't punch those.
I'm just wondering how he explains the bruises to his family.
If he's ever naked in front of his family, that's just creepy, dude.
Fair point. All right, well, that joke didn't work, like, at all. So, let's go ahead and move on here. So, I gave this one some thought, mainly because I've been playing Ingress, like, a lot lately. Like, I ordered the 7,000... what is that thing? Huge ass extended battery for my phone because I keep running the battery down on the 4G. So I got thinking about this a lot, you know, and most of your privacy advocates, and I would probably put myself in that group, pretty much are going nuts right now with tracking cookies, ads, Facebook like buttons, government GPS on your car, and, you know, various other forms of non-invasive tracking. And the shit you just don't really pay attention to going on anymore. And I'm exaggerating a little bit, but so I got really thinking about this. You know, with most of your modern smartphones, they're gonna track you. I mean, most of your useful apps are GPS enabled. And that data is going somewhere because most of them are not doing much processing on the phone. And it might just be going into a database and sitting there, but I mean, it's going somewhere, right? And, you know, of course, your Google accounts are all over the place. And so it occurred to me, as opposed to going nuts trying to shut all this stuff out, because that gets you flagged as an extremist right up there with putting the aluminum foil on the windows. You know, what if you controlled it, you know? What if you're aware of the tracking that's going on. So instead of trying to shut it all down, you let it happen for the innocuous shit, you know, your everyday stuff, sort of like maintaining your resume style social network accounts. Like, you know, the real name Facebook account is something you don't mind your boss looking at because they're going to. Whereas, right. You know, you don't put anything on Facebook if it's something that would potentially get you fired. So it's not so much that you're not tracked. It's just you're controlling what they track and what they don't.
Well, can't part of that be, like, disabling the GPS on your phone?
Oh,
like,
sure.
All the time? Like, oh, I don't... Yeah. I mean, none of the people that I know ever keep the GPS on their phone. One, because of app trapping software like that. But two, mostly because
it
drains the battery, exactly.
Yeah, no, I only turn it on when I'm using it. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just...
To be fair with the battery draining, that generally only happens if there's something that's actually using the GPS at the time. And with most smartphones, you know, if you've got it like in a sleep mode or something like that, there shouldn't be anything using that GPS. So that really shouldn't drain your battery anymore. It really depends on what apps you're running.
You don't jailbreak the original iPhones. I know they had the GPS always on just so Apple could track you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's not just the GPS for tracking you, though. They log what cell towers you see, and even to the point of what Wi-Fi access points you see, so they can improve their location database.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least that's the stated purpose. But I mean, yeah, they are tracking you if you're using a modern smartphone.
Oh yeah,
you know, Android's ridiculous. Not any better.
But you know, I don't even think that it's like you have to make a choice to just like have your like public image that you know is tracked and everything. I think that's just something that everybody should do by default. Like, that's... Like, you don't really have a choice. Like, it's pretty much impossible to just lock down your everyday uses.
Well, I mean, how many different websites you go on to now, and the only way to log in is, you know, go click like on Facebook to, you know, get access to this, that, and the other. I've got, like, 6 fake Facebook accounts at this point, I think. It might be 7. I honestly don't remember. I own like a ton of domain names, so making fake accounts is dead easy. But I mean, you don't have to own domain names to do that. There's always the bug me not email addresses and shit like that. But
oh yeah,
your bug me not's a nice service too, by the way. If you haven't checked that one out, privacy wise. So I guess you know what I'm getting at here is not doing the total lockdown tinfoil hat. Just you got to be aware of what's going on, right? You've got to know you're being tracked so that you can at least try to shape it. You maintain that resume style, and so you know that your phone's being tracked. So if you're gonna go to the strip club, leave it at home. You know, go get you a burner phone and take that with you for emergencies or whatever. And if you think about it, you know. With the same thing with the resume style social networking accounts, your gaming handles, the one that can easily be linked to your real accounts, like if you've used the same email address somewhere or just goofed up and weren't thinking, I know that mine is probably linked somewhere just because I wasn't thinking and used one email address or another. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That, so, if you're using Steam, it's kind of linked to you.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, actually, Steam's probably a pretty good example where I used my real email address and my handle. Of course, you can change your handle on there fairly easily, but you know, you got to kind of treat it the same way, right? You know, your gaming handle is probably linked to your main account, so it's probably not crazy hard for somebody to do some Google dorking and figure out who's who. So
yeah, that's very true.
There's that. But
so, whenever you're making terroristic threats, don't use your gaming handle.
Yeah, yeah, no, you'd probably be better off not using a handle at all if you're doing that.
But how else am I going to take credit for it?
Well, that's the thing, right?
Well, you flip through a dictionary and pick 3 random words, and that'll be your handle.
Testicle scratch herpes? What? There,
and so now testicle scratch herpes has threatened the White House with it. God. I don't think before I speak. I just want to throw that out there.
So, that's not an affirmative defense. I want to let you know that.
That's right up there with I was drunk. But, you know, I got thinking about that. With your phone tracking you, if you kind of think about it, where are you primarily going? You're going to and from work, right? And then occasionally, you know, fast food store, mall, whatever, right? So most of that stuff is not really private. Your address is not private. I mean, yeah, you can get yourself delisted from the phone book, but, you know, most people's addresses are fairly easy to get their hands on. And your job, you know, if you work somewhere where they're sending a W-2 to the IRS, guess what? The government knows where you work. So, unless it's like a really small business that's not reporting to the IRS or something, or if you're getting paid under the table, they know where you work. And they know where you live. And if you know those two things, it's fairly easy to guess where you're getting your dinner. So, if you go ahead and let some of the tracking go on for that stuff on a regular basis, you know, the whole leaving your phone somewhere else if you're going to go do something really dumb, I mean, you know, burners are cheap. They can be bought with cash, and it's what drug dealers use. So, I mean, my God, if you're just worried about some plausible deniability there.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, to be honest, like, most of the, like, I'd say probably, like, 99.9% of the time, it doesn't matter. You know, like you said, you're going to work, you're going to the shopping mall or something like that. Who cares? You know, yeah. And, you know, like, I definitely don't mind leaving all of these, like, tracking services running, like, you know, Ingress, for example, which is essentially just, like, a disguised tracking program. Or not even
They're not even disguising it. They're honest. They're being honest with it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, no, but, we're watching where you go so we can improve our pathing data.
Yeah, but, you know,
they've said that.
But that doesn't really bother me because I'm using it in situations where I couldn't give a shit if I'm being tracked. And I get some advantage out of it.
Yeah, you're having fun with it. So,
well, when looking at tracking, it's who do you want to avoid knowing who you are? Like, if I'm using the store discount cards, none of them know my real name.
That's true. That's true. And that's an easy enough trick to pull off. You just grab the thing off the shelf and fill it out with, you know, Lamangelo, as opposed to whoever the hell you really are. So
it's who do you want to avoid, and whose data do you want to try to screw up?
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking, too, you can kind of take it to your advantage. No, Your Honor, that couldn't have been me spray painting those cows. My Foursquare account shows I was at Starbucks when that cow was being painted. I mean,
when I was putting
this little bit together, I was having a lot of fun thinking dumb things I'd be doing, you know, because...
No, yeah, but, like, you know, if you really wanted to set something like that up, it'd be so simple. You just get a program like Tasker or something, throw your cell phone in your buddy's backpack or some of your girlfriend's purse or something. And just have it set up, like, every X number of minutes, do, like, a Twitter post or something like that with a geotag something. And, sure. You know, like, that's perfect evidence that you were there, not where they think you were.
That's why cops don't use that as an alibi.
If your girlfriend's out in public, hey, congratulations, she's been photographed on one of the many CCTV cameras going up in your local area.
Sure.
But it's not going to be worth it anyway.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a good point, yeah. So,
I've thought long and hard about
this. I guess it's a good thing
thing
I'm not a hardcore criminal. Because I'd be busted, like, right away.
The only way to be sure is not to have a phone.
Yeah. There you go.
Like, it's not inconvenient. I don't care what anyone says.
No, that's a fair point, too, is just going all out and saying I don't have one. But, you know... I don't know. For some people, that's not really possible. You know, my cell phone is my only phone number, and it's just been the only way to go. And I, you know, for several of the jobs I've had, I pretty much had to have the thing on me all the time anyways. So, you know, as a condition of my employment, I had to have a cell phone. So,
to be totally honest, I wouldn't even say a cell phone is even a phone. It's now just like a mobile computer device. A mobile internet access point. You know, that's pretty much what you use your smartphone now for now.
Well, sure,
nowadays.
Yours and mine are, but several people still just use the basic phones.
Oh, yeah, but I think it's more than 50% of cell phone owners now have a smartphone.
Well, let's just pull the panel here. I've got a smartphone.
That's just
going
up.
Yeah, BSV, what do you got? Burner phone, regular phone, smartphone?
Regular phone.
I know Madman's got a regular phone.
Phone.
Yeah, RU has no phone. Dart,
no
I'm
phone,
sure you got a smartphone.
No account.
Yeah,
nothing.
I have a smartphone.
And Suave, I have. So, yeah, I guess on this panel it would be right at 50-50.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. I like having the internet at the tip of my fingers just for stupid stuff. Like, hey, what was the name of that guy in that movie?
Well, or finding the nearest Waffle House.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Oh, you bastard, Waffle House.
Question.
So hungry now.
When do you get time to unplug?
Never.
You
unplugged in all the time.
Don't need to. I don't know. It's what
constant
I do.
Constant stream of information.
You can turn the thing off. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it has a power button.
Yeah, I don't know. I like being plugged in, but when I'm out, I like being unplugged, you know? It's just... seems a more... I don't know... unique way of living these days, if you know what I mean.
If I don't want to talk to someone, I just ignore them. So I can be plugged in and just be like, fuck it, this dude's calling, I don't want to answer the phone.
Just next time you're out in the local markets or something like that, put your phone in your pocket and just observe those around you. And they're not observing anything else but their connection. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And those who aren't connected are taking advantage of those who are connected all the time by scamming the living shit out from stealing stuff. It's amazing.
Actually, you know, Madman, you bring up an interesting point. It's really interesting to see how many people actually have the willpower to not answer the phone.
Not answer, really? I have not answer no a problem. Text message?
Yeah,
I completely ignore it.
I guess that's where you're talking about being disconnected. I don't give a shit if someone talks to me or whatever that I don't really feel like talking to right then. Then I don't.
No, I'm not talking about
us.
Fox,
most
of us
I'm awful
fine.
At getting back to people.
But it's I see a lot of people that, like, if that phone goes off, they have to answer it. Like, doesn't matter what they're doing, they have to drop everything and go answer it.
Oh yeah, in the middle of like eating dinner with your friends, somebody sends a text and they're immediately checking it.
Oh yeah,
like, screw that. I'm drinking. I will text you or get back with you a week later.
I have thrown someone's phone against the wall of a coffee shop because I was trying to have a meeting with them.
Yeah, well, I think that's. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. They just kept, like, every 5 minutes, they're like, dudulunk. Oh, shit, I've got to take that. Fucking don't. You're not a doctor. You don't deliver babies. You're not at the front line of national defense. We're meant to be having a 45-minute debrief conversation here about what the fuck's going on, and I haven't got 8 minutes out of you so far in 30 because you keep checking that stupid fucking phone. And I grab it. I piffed it against the fucking wall, shattering it. The phone was shattered. They were shattered, crying about their life was on that phone. Wow.
Yeah, see, that's a different argument, well, I think. That goes back into the whole social media of there being people that literally cannot live without social media, and that is their life, and that's their connection. That's
I don't even think it goes that far. I think that's just more pure manners.
Yeah, that too.
Like, I don't think it was necessarily the phone. I think it's just that person lacked proper manners. And if they weren't using their phone to be rude, they probably would have been rude in a different way.
Anybody have any friends that work in the emergency ward? No?
I don't think so.
Just go and ask them how many phone and walking related accidents they have every day.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Dude, it's fucking incredible. The amount of people presenting to emergency with, like, split heads and, you know, busted ankles and stuff like that, or even hit by cars.
Well, you know, to that, I say it's Darwinism. Let them fucking do it to themselves. Who cares?
Dude, you that's know? My healthcare money.
Well, away. That's different.
This is like
that's...
smoking and tobacco, you know? Same thing, man. It's a health hazard. They need to ban phones outright in public. You should not be able to take a phone call in public, like smoking.
Smoking, with the taxes put on it, it pays for the health risks it causes and more. You can just overtax smartphones.
There you go.
Oh, don't give them more ideas.
Yeah,
already
tax
the
shit
tax on
out
internet.
Of clever phones, you know, and the stupid fuckers that buy them. Just tax the living shit out of it. Anything I don't use, you can tax 100%. I don't care.
I love that.
Anything
Apple-related
product, tax. you know, luxury cars, tax the shit out of. You know, taxis, tax the shit out of, man. Public transport, couldn't give a shit. Double affairs tomorrow, don't care. That's the way they should do it. Leave me the fuck alone. Take the tax off the alcohol and cigarettes, man.
Nice. So, back on topic here. Doing the plausible deniability thing actually requires perfect OPSEC, though. Oh, operational security.
Well, plausible deniability doesn't work a lot when you're trying to use it for an alibi. The government knows Twitter can be automated. They automate Twitter. They have fake people, so they know you can make a fake person. They don't use it as an alibi. You have to have some form of more concrete evidence that you were there.
Well, generally, you don't want them to have it. You don't want them coming after you at all. You want them chasing some ghost ad on the internet, right? So, and that was actually not a Ghost in the Shell reference, but it could work as one. so, just some ideas I had on OPSEC here. If you're going to do something on the internet, you know, that you don't want associated with your, I guess you would say, resume accounts, you want to use different computers. That's the easiest way to do it. Just grab you a different machine That way you don't have all your automatic login stuff and all your cookies and all this other shit. That's actually how they caught Sabu from LulzSec. Was he signed into IRC once, not going through Tor, and they got his IP. So, and that's the other point. Use different internet connections for different identities. If, you know, everything's coming from the same IP, it's not that hard to put two and two together. Of course, don't use your real cell phone to access anything related to, you know, what we're calling something dumb. You know, I guess if you're doing any kind of subversive, you know, or if you just like playing that you're subversive, I don't know. And of course, dispose of any compromised systems. If you had a, you know, if you had a burner phone on you when you were, might have been caught on camera or something, you know, break it in half and throw each half in a different dumpster.
Or at least the SIM card.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like to RU's point earlier, though, is how can Twitter and all those be in, they can't be an alibi now, because like he was saying, you know, everything's
towards CCTV. You don't want anything tied back to you identify. If you're dumpster diving and you're getting caught on camera, you better have a hoodie up. I mean, you know, wear a mask. Do something.
Yeah. That's the scariest thing, I think. Like, I think with what going along with what Ari said, I mean, CCTVs are going to become everywhere.
Well, right, but think about the correlation, right? It's like, we saw this person on CCTV. Find the cell phone number that person was carrying because we know their approximate location. So,
yeah, exactly.
I don't think we're quite to that level yet, but you can see it from here. You know, and if you're doing something on a network, if you suspect they logged you when you were looking for the secret 30-second flavor of ice cream, you know, throw away the network card and don't use that access point again. USB Wi-Fi cards are cheap. Anytime you're doing something that you want to be able to ditch the ID, just throw the thing away, get you another one.
So easy to change your MAC address anyway.
Oh, sure. But, you know, I mean, hardware IDs are hardware IDs. And, yeah, changing your MAC address works too. But, hell, if you've ditched the network card, good luck ever tracing that thing back. And of course, don't check your Facebook account and turn off the auto login IMs. This is why I say just use another computer. And wherever you're going to get the Wi-Fi, like if you're going to McDonald's, pay cash. Don't generate a credit card record. People have actually gotten caught using McDonald's Wi-Fi because they paid for the coffee with a credit card.
Oh, yeah.
So that just comes back to thinking about when and where records are generated. Yeah, it's actually not that hard. You just give it some thought. So when you're off the grid, think about it. And when you're back on the grid, make sure, you know, don't confuse yourself and do something you're only supposed to do when you're off the grid. You know, it's not doing the permanent off the grid thing so much as it's just ducking out every once in a while. So, I don't know. I mean, but just for fun, at least something I enjoy doing, honestly. Yeah, even if you're not doing anything wrong or something you should be wearing a Guy Fawkes mask for, it's kind of fun to practice ducking the grid. You know, you can give fake names at restaurant and see if anybody even questions it. You know, these are things where no ideas have got involved. Again, pay cash. You don't want to hand somebody a credit card that doesn't match the name you gave when you reserved a table.
I don't know. It's great to see if they even notice.
That's true.
Signed the wrong name on a slip.
Well, I mean, you know, Madman has... I've personally observed Madman writing, "Hey, this stolen card works as the signature for a credit card." So
I've wrote, "Hey, this stolen card works. Help, they help me. They have my children. Please call the cops. They're going to kill me." Of a few dozen just different things where I wanted someone to notice. My bank has never called me and asked me about these erroneous charges. These stores that I was writing this stuff at, some of it was even on like paper slips. It wasn't all just the touchpad screen here, put your signature and no one ever notices it. The tellers didn't care. The clerks didn't care. Nobody freaking noticed.
Yeah, so it's pretty easy if you want to, you know, become Lemangelo for a day and see if anybody even realizes that you're saying your name is Lemangelo. I mean, you know, if you want to try the whole thing with the network, grab you an older laptop that you're not particularly concerned about, load it up with a live OS, you know, like grab you a back copy of Backtrack or something. Go to a coffee shop or a restaurant that has Wi-Fi that you don't normally use. don't hit up any of your regular networks or accounts. You know, don't use your same handles. Make up a new handle that you're only going to use for this session. And just kind of poke around and just try it out. You know what I mean? It's good practice, because if you're not doing anything dumb, who cares if you screw up, right? But it's just kind of fun to do. It's fun to try. So, I don't know. You know, pretend you're James Bond or something. It's whatever.
I'll finally get use out of Puppy Linux.
There you go. That's yeah, if nothing else, it's a chance to goof around, right? You know, if you get caught doing it, who cares? You're just goofing. I mean, So. And then when you get good at it, of course, you can go hack the NSA or something. I don't know.
So. No, not the NSA. They don't have interesting things. I want to hack the Fed.
It's like, yeah,
and it doesn't have to be the U.S. Fed. We could go with one of the banks in Europe. But we could just crash an entire economy, throw the world into the greatest depression ever.
Nice.
Have you looked out the window lately?
Nice. Okay, that's good. Let's do some current events news stories here. This one's from the Register. Syria has been reconnected to the world following a suspicious 19-hour internet blackout in the troubled nation. News that access to the World Wide Web had collapsed in a civil war-torn country began circulating on Tuesday. It appeared that systems passing internet traffic in and out of the Middle East territory withdrew their network routes, like a castle pulling up its drawbridge. God, that is a horrible analogy. Somebody went in and told the routers not to talk to anything, okay? That's what that means. The outage was widely interpreted as a sign that the government was planning a military operation, either against Syrian rebels or a retaliation strike against its southwest neighbor Israel. A convoy allegedly carrying missiles bound for the Shiite Hezbollah militants had earlier come under attack from Israeli forces. Hezbollah are longtime foes of Israel, blah, 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 blah. Internet services were restored yesterday at 1430 GMT, according to monitoring company Renesas. Google also noticed the outage and subsequent return of services, which is vividly depicted in a series of graphs that show internet access abruptly falling off a cliff. State-backed media claimed the shutdown was caused by a fault in optical fiber cables. David Belson of Akamai, a content delivery network, that's who runs Facebook, by the way, rubbished this claim. Our monitoring shows that Syria's international internet connectivity is through at least four providers, and published submarine cable maps show connectivity through at three active cables, he said. As such, the failure of a single fiber optic cable is unlikely to cause a complete internet outage for the country. The EFF, a digital rights group, warned that without the internet, any crimes committed by the government troops or rebel forces would go unnoticed, because God knows nobody can actually just hang on to the pictures and video they took and post them when the connection comes back.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. What the fuck?
But if it's not live, it doesn't happen, right?
I thought if it didn't happen to white people, it didn't happen.
Oh!
Like, come on, look at Africa. Has anyone cared about that? And that continent's been fucked up for how many decades?
Are you, when you want to clip that out, that's at 28:30?
So. Where do I stick that? Is that under the racist folder or what?
I think we just put that under good comedy.
Okay.
Yeah, that's I don't know. It's interesting that their internet went up and down. I'd be willing to bet. They're claiming it was a problem with the fiber optic cable. I'd be willing to bet whatever government shill they sent out to say that had no clue what the hell he was talking about. It's like, yeah, they said it was something with the fiber lines. I don't know. I mean, you know.
It's going to continue to happen.
Preload
like,
to an attack.
Yeah, it's the same thing that happened in Egypt, right? I mean, they cut them off for a couple days or whatever also, right?
Yeah.
Did anything ever come out of that?
Not that we know.
Yeah,
but the thing is, it's not, you know, anything. Internet's not the only form of communication you got. Cell
right.
phones still work. You can still snap pictures and just hang on to them for a chance to distribute them later.
The thing with Egypt, that they're running it through the copper connection anyway.
That's true.
Yeah. Once they took down the mobile phone network, which most of that internet is mobile phone over there. They just
went back
to copper.
That's pretty much everywhere except the states you know, everything's tied in through the internet lines because it makes sense to do that. The only reason the States doesn't have it set up that way is because we have a lot of the older infrastructure still in place, and so nobody's going to mess with it. So, but yeah, no, everywhere else, I mean, they use the same towers for everything. So,
well, the reason they get all antsy when the internet goes down is, no matter what you say about it, it is one of the harder things to police as far as a central police force doing something about it.
That's true.
Because Ma Bell is still in bed with the government. I think they have sex every Thursday.
No, it's Wednesday. That
was really CCTV camera. Week.
Yeah.
All right. Next story up, this one's from Sophos.com, their naked security blog. Taro Daro, a company spokesperson, told CBS DFW that sensors in stores, the store here is Nordstrom, are collecting information from customers' smartphones as those phones automatically scan for Wi-Fi service. Daro said that the sensors monitor which departments you visit and for how long, but they don't actually follow your phone from department to department. They don't identify personal information tied to a phone owner. This is literally measuring a signal. You are not connected to the your signal's coming from your phone. How are you not connected to it? Nordstrom plugged in the technology in October, but hasn't yet done anything with the data it's collected. It's referring to that data as anonymous aggregate reports that give us a better sense of customer foot traffic. Nordstrom says it will eventually use these anonymous aggregate reports to enhance the shopping experience, for example, by increasing staffing during high traffic times, keeping more registers open because, you know, God knows they couldn't just look at their cameras and see this information, or by tweaking a department's layout. The store is posting signs to alert customers and to tell them that if they want to opt out, they can turn off their phones. And actually, that's kind of cool that they're at least bothering to put up those signs. CBS DFW spoke to John Fu, marketing director at Elucid, the company that provides the tracking service. Apparently, the company provides technology to collect information about us. It's wary about disclosing its information and its clients, citing, ironically enough, privacy concerns. So the people who make the snooping software don't want to talk to you. What a surprise. Fu did tell CBS DFW that Elucid serves a variety of different kinds of retail stores, ranging from mom-and-pop stores and coffee shops to large department stores. Elucid, Fu said, didn't collect names, addresses, phone numbers, or email. Well, no, if they're just watching MAC addresses float around, you know, in signal strength to kind of estimate where something is, and they've probably got multiple points on it so they can triangulate, you know, where you're sitting, because that's just math. So they're probably just tying unique numbers, which would be the MAC address on the phone, so... One, turn Wi-Fi on the phone off and nothing else to save your battery. And two, this is that great argument for grabbing the burner phone that doesn't have Wi-Fi and taking that with you when you go to these stores.
The only information they can get that they don't already have from a legitimate point of view is just where to set up our impulse buys. Because they already know their peak hours. They can get that from registers. How many people went through this register at this time? They already know what you're buying. Tell them whenever you go to the register.
I want to purchase something, but I don't wish to tell you what. The condoms are in the back, sir. Oh, dear.
Yeah, the only new thing they'll be able to get is legitimate thing for their business would be where to lay out impulse buys. Anything else, they're just trying to spy on you for the sake of spying on you.
Yep.
Well,
and
it's actually
companies
a little
do
worse.
That just to sell that information.
There's actually a little bit worse than you're thinking. There is a project called Carmetasploit, which takes fantastic... advantage of this. When your average Wi-Fi device is scanning, one of the things it's doing is it's looking for networks it knows, you know, your saved networks on your phone or your laptop. You know, for example, Madman, you don't have to punch in that crazy ass Wi-Fi key every time you come over to my house because your computer remembers it, right? Well, so that means whenever you take that computer someplace else, it's broadcasting the SID it's looking for. So it's broadcasting my SSID anywhere else you go when it searches for Wi-Fi, because that's one of the networks it knows about. And if you know how to listen to that, you can build a list of all the Wi-Fi networks that that network knows about. And if you're a dick, you can set up a script to suddenly become that network, especially if it's unencrypted. And that Wi-Fi client will connect to you, and you can then start having fun. So if you want to have some fun, look up the project Carmetasploit, which takes advantage of that fact. So potentially, not only could they have you know, your MAC address of your phone, they could have a list of all the Wi-Fi points you ever actually connect to and saved on the phone. And if they're real dicks, they could set up Car Metasploit and start rooting your phone so they could then, you know, get all your information and build whatever. So
some less than ethical person now has another tool to hurt me.
Pretty much.
But awesome. Most businesses aren't going to do that because you're already giving them your money.
That's true.
So it's not a problem with whatever store, which I've already forgotten in your story doing this.
Nordstrom's
not going to be the problem. It's Madman on the internet just realized Nordstrom's, Walmart's, and Kroger have all stuck this new software in. How can Madman fuck you over with it?
Because I like how you just called himself a bad car. Guy.
He's not a bad guy. He's just not a good guy.
He's just honest. Okay.
He's morally ambiguous at worst.
This next story up is from H Online and scares the hell out of me. Anti-Botnet Advisory Center, a German anti-botnet advisory service, because the name didn't give it away, reports that a new variant of the BKA Trojan attempts to blackmail the owners of infected computers with 4 pornographic pictures of children. The Ooh. Trojan claims that the owner has been found to be involved in illegal activities such as the reproduction of pornographic material involving minors and locks down the computer. The computer actually does contain child porn at this point. The Trojan downloads the pictures itself. To suggest an ongoing investigation, the malware displays an alleged names and dates of birth of the children in the 4 pictures. Users of infected systems will also see themselves because the Trojan turns on your camera. According to prosecution, victims are told to pay approximately 100 euros to blackmailers via UCash? Oh, okay, UCash, or PaySafe card. This is a variation of the fake FBI virus that's been going around in the States. If anybody's not seen that, it is hilarious. Victims should, of course, do no such thing, as the money will go straight into the criminals' pockets. Instead, infected systems should be checked with a virus scanner. Anybody, whoever wrote that's never had to clean one of these little bastards up. You format it, okay? You, if you're lucky, you boot it up with a live CD of some sort, you back up anything you care about, and you format the box. The German Anti-Botnet Advice Center recommends Hitman Pro, an on-demand scanner that apparently also deletes the photos that the Trojan has deposited on the system. And H Online tested it, and it turned out the software may unnecessarily create worry with inexperienced users by reporting of tracking cookies. Okay, that's enough. The thing that scares me here is the malware is actually downloading kiddie porn under your machine.
Yeah.
This now, is that's a felony waiting to happen. I love the designers of this.
Well, I mean, it's this. Talk about blackmail. I mean, it's showing you kiddie porn and then saying, you know, you're in trouble. Here's the kiddie porn. And here's the cat.
The way the laws are written in the States,
you're
in trouble. You are guilty. You can just go to prison. You're going to show up on our favorite website. It'll be great. This is a terrible, horrible thing to do to people.
It really is.
So Madman understands why this story scared the hell out of me.
Oh, yeah, because you're automatically guilty of a felony. You're going to be on a perv list for the rest of your life unless you're lucky enough to get an understanding FBI agent. How many of those exist? I think there are 5.
So I would invest in thermite, and if you see this Trojan on your computer, just burn it to the ground.
That's
then light the house on fire just to make sure.
Just to be on the safe side. And pray to God that nobody's watching your network line that day.
Oh, yeah, because you're going to get ass-raped in prison.
Eyelids cut off.
The cons aren't going to ask, was this fake kiddie porn you were looking at, you perverted bastard? No, they're going to hold you down and anally rape you after the U.S. government takes away all your shit.
So Madman is 2 for 2 for great visuals on Pure Decking this week.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm a fan of viruses like
virus. The next man, but this is fucked up.
Yes, it is. So... You know,
I wonder
if this
can be incorporated as a defense for actual kiddie pornographers.
Ugh.
Like, no, sir, I'm not a kiddie pornographer. I have a German virus. And just keep that downloaded on your computer at all times.
Just run it in case of FBI.
Yeah, just run it in case of FBI. It's wow,
this,
a defense.
This is the largest infection we've ever seen. 9 gig.
I really want to move on now because I don't like this story. But...
Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's... The thing is, I'm afraid that you're going to see copycats start doing that all over the place.
It's a quick way to get money. Hi, don't turn me into the cops. Here's $100.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not asking for, like, a super large amount of money, so I can see tons of people just giving them the shut-up money.
Well, tons of people give them their credit card information anyways. So.
And then they get more money.
Yeah. So, all right, next one up. This one is from the Business Insider. Jonathan Meyer is the man who turned off third-party cookies in the upcoming versions of Firefox. And cookies are the little bits of code on your browser that let advertisers track you. He just told AdExchanger that he no longer cares what advertisers think about privacy and cookies because they've lost the debate. His Twitter account has been a brutal stream of sarcasm about advertisers who want a solution that leave cookies in place. Mayer's mood has angered advertisers who were in the midst of negotiations for an industry-wide standard on tracking cookies when it happened. Advertisers want the cookies left on by default with an option for users to turn them off if they want more privacy. The Firefox moves keeps them off by default and users must turn them on. All browsers will continue to use first-party cookies, which websites use for a range of purposes, mostly to see whether or not you're logged into that forum. Safari and Microsoft also have similar no-cookie policies. Without Firefox, virtually all of the major browsers would come in default anti-tracking positions, and that's a huge threat to... advertisers whose ads pay for much of the web we see every day. So, I guess to explain a little bit, third-party cookies are where... a cookie is just a little bit of information that's stored in your browser. It's retrievable by a website so that it's just a place for it to store a little bit of information in your browser. Generally, it's used to see whether or not you're logged in... websites that save your password, usually you're saving it in a cookie on your browser. And what advertisers like to do with them is they like to assign a unique ID to your computer so they can see what all websites you're hitting and supposedly serve you more targeted advertising. Now, third-party cookies means that cookie didn't come from the website you went to. So, you know, if you went to, say, Galaxy 15 Radio and logged in to make a post, you'll get a cookie from Galaxy 15 Radio. Now, if we had put an advertising service on the website, which, by the way, I will never do, not as long as I'm running the website anyways, because I don't like it, you could get a third-party cookie, and that would be a cookie coming from the provider of the ad, not from Galaxy 15 Radio. So the difference is, what website did you go to? You know what I mean? So, like, when you go to Facebook, all the ads that come from Facebook are first-party cookies. Any ads that are actually coming from, I don't know, Click Exchange or, you know, pick an advertising service where the ads are actually being served by a different server, those cookies would be third-party. And most of your major browsers by default now are blocking those. So I imagine you're going to see a little bit of JavaScript added to most advertising banners, you know, telling you to go and turn these things on or you can't visit the website.
Then I don't go visit that website. Fuck
them. Yeah, it's pretty Fair much enough. A no-brainer.
I found that you can close that window a lot of times and still see the website.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
So it's just saying, go flip this on. I'm like, no, I'm not going to. Close, play. It still works. Yay for my computer.
Thanks, AdBlock Plus. Anyways, but yeah, now Firefox is doing it, and I just love that the guy who made the decision essentially is telling the advertising industry to get bent.
That's like, awesome.
No, it's the spirit.
Someone needs to buy that guy a bunch of beer.
I'm sure he's getting all the beer he wants for the next couple of weeks while that story's out. So. Next story up, this one is from Geekology.com and is hilarious. Greenheart Games is a small independent video game publisher that just released their first title, Game Dev Tycoon, last week. But alongside the legitimate version, they uploaded a torrent containing a cracked version of the game. Fast forward later a day, when pirates start complaining they can't proceed any further in the sim because all the games they develop get virtually pirated. So what they did was they took the legitimate game and then they made their own cracked version. And in the cracked version, after so many days, you just lose, pretty much. And it says, oh, you lost because everybody pirated your game.
Well, I don't even think they did it like that. I think they just increased the percentage of piracy. So it wasn't like there wasn't like some switch that turns on. I think it just, the game got pirated like 3-4 times as much as it would normally.
Yeah. But they uploaded their own cracked version that was essentially broken, right? And I think that's hilarious. They actually had a chart on the site showing that 93.6% of all the games being played a day after the release were pirated. And they've got all kinds of screenshots of people on the forum saying, it says all my games got pirated. How do I beat this? And
the way you beat it is you buy the actual game.
Yeah. So it's just great comedy. I just love the developers made the broken version of their game and uploaded it to the piracy sites to preempt the pirates actually cracking their game.
I think that's a brilliant strategy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Flood the system with bad copies and...
Didn't they try to do that back in the LimeWire days?
I was just going to say, I was thinking way before even that. Do you guys remember...
Well, they still do that with the movies and stuff.
Yeah. You guys remember the old games where... Their DRM is you had to look at the manual and then paragraph 3, sentence 4, what's the third word?
Oh, yeah, like the old King's Quest and stuff like that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah,
that's just kind of what that reminded me of.
I always liked the one from the first Leisure Suit Larry where it was asking you questions that only an adult was supposed to know.
Yep.
And you know what? That's probably more effective than any age verification system that's out there right now.
But the best part about it, there was only 40 questions.
What's a floppy disk?
That's what happens when you've had too much to drink. Now,
that question wouldn't have been asked, man, because it's what parents knew. Kids would have known that.
I was thinking nowadays, children have never seen a floppy disk.
Oh, what does VCR stand for?
Video cassette recorder, and those are still being sold.
What is a Walkman?
I saw a tape recorder yesterday.
Like an actual
in the box tape recorder.
I just like how he's like shocked about this.
I am. Who the fuck uses a tape recorder? My cell
phone. Somebody going
will
for that authentic tape noise on their album.
Hipsters. Goddamn hipsters.
Hipsters, yeah.
No, they've got the record player. The hipsters have got the record player, and they're buying new albums on vinyl.
Vinyl sounds better.
Yeah, didn't you know?
Yeah, you probably know.
And Super 8 film, far superior quality.
8-track, man. Better than cassette.
Moving along as quickly as I can before
you can't
this gets
hit rewind on 8-track. You can't like pick a song. You have to listen to the whole album.
Man, a great album is worth listening from start to finish. You don't skip through it. Dark Side of the Moon, man.
I love Dark Side of the Moon. Piper's at the Gates of Dawn is another good one. No. It tells a fucking story. You don't want to come in halfway through the story. The guy's crazy.
It's designed for 8-track.
That's also why you can't download a lot of Pink Floyd songs, at least from legitimate providers. Pink Floyd wants you to have the entire album.
Well, the whole thing is one big ass song. It just they split it into tracks so they could publish it.
That's why I record it on a tape cassette, one cassette recorder to the other, man, face to face.
Momentary Lapse of Reason is a bunch of different songs. It isn't a story.
No, okay, that one's not, but Dark Side of the Moon is.
You mean The Wall. Dark Side of the Moon's not a single story either.
What am I thinking of then?
You're thinking of The Wall. Pink Floyd's The Wall. It's two albums. But
good
it's
point.
That one guy's life.
I've already made it through most of the Long Island iced tea, so... okay, this next one up is from Forbes. In a bill passed earlier today, the government of New Zealand announced that software in the country will no longer be patentable. New Zealand's largest IT representative body, the Institute of IT Professionals, expressed relief and said that the decision removed a major barrier to software-led innovation. The policy was passed in a supplementary order paper, which set out proposed amendments to the existing patents bill. In a post on the New Zealand Herald, Commerce Minister Craig Foss said that the following industry, or said that following industry consultation, he had decided to remove the patentability of software from the patents bill, which is currently before Parliament. These changes ensure that the bill is consistent with the intention of the Commerce Select Committee recommendation that computer programs should not be patentable, he said. In doing this, New Zealand is essentially taking the position that existing laws provide enough protection for software as it is. Patents only serve to stifle innovation because the ever-looming threat of being sued by so-called patent troll companies.
I love that country. New Zealand just became slightly more awesome.
Yeah, I fully agree with that statement right there.
I'm thinking now whenever we decide to start publishing software for anything, we set up a corporation in New Zealand. So,
New Zealand had to get this shit together on digital rights and stuff like that after the whole .com fiasco, man.
Yeah.
Like, that's what really made their parliament get off their ass, because none of them knew what was going on.
Right.
So, Ari, you think we could get you to take a quick day trip up there and set us up a P.O. box so we can get an LLC established?
I'll just give a couple of mates I know over there a call.
There we go. It's like, no, we're published out of New Zealand. Sorry. Your software patents don't work here.
I think a lot of companies are going to be doing that. I see Apple with a P.O. box in New Zealand now. Just to get around their own patent lawyers.
That's probably true. All right.
But that is it's not a story I think we'll get a lot of discussion on because everyone's going to like it, but I think that is an awesome thing New Zealand did.
I do too.
Yeah, I just think you're looking at the big, big, broad paintbrush, like what happened with .com. Then, like, you guys probably didn't get most of the news about it. Like, that really rocked New Zealand, man. Like, they hate America as it is.
It's because the American authorities basically fed their authorities so much shit to get them to raid .com's house, arrest him, and then steal a whole bunch of data for him, and then basically made them out for patsies when they figured out that they didn't have the right to do any of that.
Well, the simple fact that the youth within the country pretty much were looking to overturn the government on that fact alone. And then the people like the older age New Zealanders got all really pissed off that their sovereign rights were pretty much violated by a country that they perceive as going around just fucking anybody's country with no laws. So they really got their ass into gear and fixed up everything within their digital laws. They haven't got everything right, but within 12 months, man, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we're going to see a lot of P.O. boxes set up just so people can bounce through them and
Look for more stories coming out of New Zealand, like you say, like this, man, of companies. We're just going to pop over to New Zealand now and start our own company. Yeah. By the way, you can't prosecute us anymore.
Yeah, all of our IP is held by this shell company we set up in New Zealand last week, and they're licensing it to us for free. Yeah.
So, move to Pirate Bay there.
I don't know. They keep moving that thing around, so...
Yeah, I don't even know where it's at anymore. But seriously, who uses Pirate Bay?
No, wait. Where was it last they moved to? There was a joke about them moving to North Korea.
I thought they were in the Netherlands right now.
I think they are. Let's see. Next one up is from Ars Technica. In a criminal case on Wednesday, federal judge denied a motion to suppress evidence gathered with the help of a stingray, a device that can create a false cell phone tower signal. The use of a stingray allows authorities to determine a specific mobile phone's precise location. The technology isn't new, and many believe law enforcement agencies nationwide have been using them for years. In March of 2013, we reported on Amicus Brief, ours is saying that they reported on Amicus Brief, filed in this case by the American Civil Liberties Union. They revealed that the feds were not completely upfront about using stingrays, also known as IMSI catchers. when they asked federal magistrate judges for permission to conduct electronic surveillance. As a result, Daniel David Ridgemaiden, the defendant in the case, who is representing himself as he has maintained his innocence, is forcefully arguing that using a stingray without a warrant is unconstitutional. As a result, he argues that any evidence gathered from it should be suppressed from the record. But the court ultimately denied his motion. Ridgemaiden faces dozens of federal accusations of identity theft, mail fraud, and other charges stemming from alleged fraudulent tax refund ring. So, okay, he was stealing people's tax refunds. Scumbag. Yeah, go away. Between 2005 and 2008, federal investigators claimed that Ridgemaiden and two co-conspirators... What's giving the three names to everybody here? Ransom Merriam Carter III, who remains a fugitive, and another unnamed suspect filed more than 1,900 fake tax returns online. Their work yielded $4 million sent to more than 170 bank accounts. For other reasons, or among other reasons for the denial, Judge David Campbell said that Ridgemaiden had no reasonable expectation of privacy when using a mobile internet hotspot from Verizon. And ultimately, that's how law enforcement agents tracked him down and arrest him. So this judge is saying that if you're using a cell phone network, you have no reasonable expectation of privacy.
When it comes to connecting to a tower, I don't think they ruled on whether or not phone conversations or anything could be circumvented that way.
No, but they didn't, because it was a pure data line.
Your phone is auto-searching for a tower, so you have no expectation of privacy when it comes to which tower it's going to connect to. And all that information gave them was, here's a tower, and they were using that tower to triangulate the guy.
So again, when you're doing something stupid, don't use your cell phone stuff. Go get a burner.
So. I'm not seeing it as too bad of a ruling. It's not saying you can be listened in on without a warrant. It's just saying if the cops have a cell phone tower that they own set up and you connect it instead of anything else, they can use that to triangulate you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not really circumventing privacy as much.
I mean, I don't know. The whole you have no reasonable expectation of privacy when connecting to a cell tower is fairly broad of a ruling, and I think that one's going to come back to bite us.
Well, I don't have control over whether I connect to a Verizon, AT&T, or whatever tower.
That's true.
Phone grabs the strongest one.
That is true. Well, the strongest one for your provider. If your phone will not connect to a Verizon tower because it's not the right kind of carrier. Your phone is not CDMA, so it will not connect to a Verizon tower. Same goes for mine. Same goes for a lot of people. And, of course, the verse vice is true as well. So if you're on Verizon, it will not connect to an AT&T tower. I promise. it might. Will they fall back to 2G? I forget.
Yeah.
Depends on your device, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bluegrass, a local cell phone company here, will actually work with both sets of towers.
Nice. Okay. Well, they just must have both the signal types implemented. All right, last story up I have for tonight for the Mindbender story. This is from CNET. We can't help but leave our DNA all over the place. If you drop a chewed piece of gum or a cigarette butt, it might get picked up by artist Heather Dewey Hagborg. She may mine it for DNA, analyze the results, and generate a portrait based on the data. That's either really spooky, really cool, or a bit of both. Dewey Hagborg's Stranger Visions project combines artistry and science while raising questions about genetic privacy. She starts by collecting genetic material from public places. She then analyzes it at a lab, mining the DNA for information like gender, ethnicity, and eye color. The data is then fed into a custom computer program that translates the information into a 3D model of a face. The model is printed out in color using a Z-Corp 3D printer. And by the way, go look at these pictures. These things are creepy as hell looking. The results are disembodied faces, but they aren't exact copies of the person who dropped the DNA. Dewey Hagborg describes it as a family resemblance. So, yeah, they go into how she started doing this by grabbing somebody's hair and getting their DNA out of it and working with traces. And
but
yeah,
it, you know, I think that they're making this out to be more than it actually is. They're probably just going in looking at like the race, and I think you can do a test to determine the age.
No, the face that they show a face comparing her to the printout that they made from her DNA, and
yeah,
it doesn't look exactly like her, but you can tell that it's
Isn't she the artist?
Yes, she is. But if you assume she's
like,
honest,
I feel like it's impossible not to impart bias when you're modeling yourself based on this data. I'd actually like to see some other people that she had never seen before, because I honestly just think that like they just went and found the basic things like hair color, race, stuff like that, and then just did a
portrait
based
on that.
But with DNA, you can get close to bone structure.
Yeah,
some bone structure is developmental, how long you sit on what side of your face as a baby, but a lot of it's still genetic.
Oh, absolutely.
So they can get exceptionally close to how you will actually look in real life.
The question is, are there actually tests set up that this person was even using that could determine that level of detail?
Yeah. We already use it in forensic labs. So
fair enough.
If she's paying for forensic tests, you can get the full-blown everything.
Actually, and they go on in the story that you know, she has access to a lot of the DNA testing equipment.
All right.
So.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of creepy. She's picking up random people's DNA and then printing a face that would be close to theirs. Because you're right, it's not going to be accurate. Because, you know, if you got into a fight with a bear when you were 10, I guarantee the face she prints is not going to match your face. But,
I was going with more subtle environmental changes than being mauled by a bear.
Or but, dog. Large dog. Could be a dog. I mean, you know.
Maulings are just small environmental changes, right?
If you got into a knife fight with a Mexican drug lord or, you know, had a horrific burning incident involving somebody in a costume, I mean, you know, shit happens. I mean,
hey,
get a
lava
facer.
Yeah. Not to mention, you know, what age is this thing aiming for? If you pick up the strain of DNA from somebody who's 50 and generate their face when they were 20, you know.
Again, it does say it's more of a family resemblance than
that. Yes, it does. So, I don't know. I'm just kind of a little concerned that they're just picking up random people's DNA and then taking it into the forensics lab. And
can you tell me if this guy has any genetic diseases I should know about?
Oh, he's going to die. Like, who is that? I don't know. It's whoever spit out that gum over there.
A weird life storybook based on random people's DNA. This could be coffee table reading here. So-and-so has diabetes and, I don't know, sickle cell lymphoma. He probably suffers from these horrible debilitating joint pains.
And they're all
you have
named
a much
by
more
where
interesting definition of coffee table reading than I do. Go ahead, BSV.
And they're all named by where the DNA is found. This is Mr. Cafe Half-Smoked Cigarette.
This
he
is
didn't live a very pleasant life.
Trash can B7 at Central Park. This is random condom found in a bush at Penn State.
Oh!
You're not looking at where this can be used for crime detection. They say they find some dude's fingerprint at a rape scene or whatever. DNA. Hey, look, you've got a version of what the guy could have looked like. Let's check all CC cameras around the area.
Certainly
going to
be.
You know what I mean?
Certainly be as close as a police sketch artist.
Yeah, dude, this is some freaky, scary shit, man. Oh, you don't even need a witness at this point now. You know, they just take a bit of DNA, run it through this computer, and then check all the camera footage to see if anyone fitting this sort of description. Hey, look, it's that guy. Yeah, let's check if he may need mobile phone calls or anything like that, text messages, things. Yeah, that's him. This is where he lives. Let's go pick him up and question him. You don't even need a witness anymore.
Yeah.
This frightens the shit out of me, man. You're getting worried that your show, my show scares you? Your show scares shit out of me a lot more, man. I'm getting anxiety listening to this shit.
Well, that's, you know, I'm trying to get these good, have at least one good mind bender a week.
That's not a mind bender. That's like, holy shit, man.
So, all right, let's go ahead and do this.
Keep a bottle of Clorox bleach with you whenever you're committing a crime.
Say that again, Madman. I was playing the thing.
I said keep a bottle of Clorox bleach with you whenever you're committing a crime.
Just don't buy that bleach. Don't buy that bleach with a credit card, though.
There you go. You pay cash, and Clorox will be the official bleach of all crimes from this point on. Don't go with the off-brand when they can make a picture of your DNA.
Well, we only got a partial strand. It seems they only got part of it with the Clorox, so we believe it was the Frogman who attacked this person, and... Well, that'd be really bad, wouldn't it? It's like, well, we found some hair. Turned out it went to a dog, so the 3D printer tried to run it as a human anyways. Yeah.
We are confident that this was actually a half man, half dog, half cat. Yes, that's right. God,
it was a werewolf!
So you're saying the werewolf's litter box trained. That's what I got out of that cat. Either that or it spends a extra amount of time licking its balls.
Well, you see, during the day, it's a werecat. During the night, it's a werewolf.
When's it a dude or a chick? Every alternate Thursday?
During that, you know, eclipse.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Let's try this again. Yo! Hadouken! Love that new intro. So, for what I got in Digital Dojo tonight, this is kind of fun. The NSA responded to a Freedom of Information Act request by publishing one of their internal manuals on doing internet research. It's a 643-page PDF called Untangling the Web, A Guide to Internet Research. And, let's see, it was released in April, and the site that actually did the Freedom of Information Act request was called Muckrock. The book was published by the Center for Digital Content of the NSA and is filled with advice for using search engines. And they do have a chapter in the book on Google hacking. So, honestly, it's a bit on the basic side, but it is what the NSA is using to train people to go out and search the internet with. So it's pretty interesting to skim. If nothing else, just to see the screenshots of the old versions of all the search engines. So, yeah, this is what the government is using to train agents to do internet research. So, it's
cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting reading. I didn't read it. I skimmed bits and pieces of it here and there. And like I said, for anybody who kind of knows what's up, it's kind of dry reading. But if you're not really big on the whole Google dorking thing, it could be a good read for you. So, you know, if nothing else, you know what search terms you're using.
So I know what to avoid sticking on my website.
Yeah, there you go. And so since the NSA is talking about Google dorking, let's get somebody who actually knows what they're doing with Google dorking. And that would be the Hackers for Charity site at hackersforcharity.org/GHDB. That's the Google Hacking Database. And they actually have an explanation for why we call it Google Dorks. It's not that what you're doing is dumb. It's that you're finding inept or foolish people using Google. Because, you know, you're finding people who publish their passwords on the freaking internet. So, if you've never played around with Google dorking, it's great fun. I know Argus had some fun with it. And anyways, what this website is a nice large collection. I'm pretty sure I've linked to it before for Digital Dojo, but it's a very nice large collection of different search strings that you can throw into Google to find various things. And they're not hard to modify and tweak if you're looking for something similar. You know what I mean? So if you need a starting point for doing some Google hacking, this webpage is the place to do it.
It's now been bookmarked.
Yeah. Good info to have.
Very good info to have. But, I mean, you know, really, you don't need the database. All you need to do is figure out mostly what Google search terms are. But you're not going to know, you know, how every text editor identifies its temp files. So something like this is really handy, because if you're wanting to get source code to a page, a lot of times you can find that page, you know, like where somebody's edited the thing on the server live. You just put a tilde after the .php. A lot of times you'll get the source code from the last edit they made to the thing. And those will occasionally get indexed by Google, and you can find them if you know what to search for. So this has a lot of nice examples of that.
This is why your robots.txt file is really important then.
Yeah, your robots.txt file should pretty much include everything except for like the landing page.
Exactly.
So, and finally, to round out Digital Dojo tonight, this is from foodbeast.com. It's graduation time, so here's a link on hiding your booze in your graduation cap. And it's a how-to, it's kind of a mini how-to in pictures, of how to hide the bladder from the wine rack bra, which exists. Apparently, it's a plastic bra with that's bladders, so that you can hide your booze in your bra.
That's actually quite awesome.
That's a thing, and that exists. And so this is how to modify the bladder and make the, you know, and make the little thing so it will fit in your graduation gown cap. It's just, everybody throws those at the end of graduation, so it kind of sucked to be the person that it landed on. It's got some more weight to it than one of those things. So, and, you know, they're using good booze. They're using Patron to fill it up in the example pictures there. So, you know, give them props for that. I think the little tube they have sewed onto it might be a bit on the obvious side. But I don't know if anybody else remembers their graduation. Those things are long. Take for fucking ever.
just take a goon handbag, man. You know what a goon handbag is?
It needs to be brandy. Something that's meant to be drank warm.
There you go. So, yeah, I mean, if nothing else, good pseudo-clean fun, right? So, but, yeah, I had to throw that link in there when I stumbled across that earlier today. And so, of course, I got some homework for you. You know, go out and maintain some OPSEC, you know, live USB, USB Wi-Fi cards that you can throw away when you're done. Go Google dork something and send us some feedback on what you find. Bonus points if you're getting drunk from a hidden flask while doing so, and extra bonus points if you're a hot chick using the wine rack brawl, and extra bonus points if you send us pictures.
A lot of bonus
That's
points.
The feedback forum on galaxy50radio.com.
Sweet.
You also get bonus points if you're not a woman, but you do all of the above.
Wait, what?
Send that to Morphs.
What?
If you weigh over 380 pounds, you get a plus 2 bonus points again on top.
Yeah, you guys can have all those pictures.
Yeah, but you're going to see them first.
I'm sitting here trying to get pictures of hot chicks in a see-through inflatable bra, and you guys want the fat guys. What the hell? Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. We're looking for new music to add. Or you just got done doing a whole crap ton of pruning. So, actually, if you have suggestions for tracks that should probably be removed, go ahead and send those to us, too, so we can check and see if it's something that ought to be yanked. Of course, Pure Decking every Thursday. Shoot the Noise.
He's on hiatus at the moment.
On hiatus until we figure that one out. NR7. Mondays whenever BSV decides he's doing it. Of course, I have nothing on Saturdays. And the Galaxy 15 radio site, the Twitter handle, the feedback form, the IRC, the subreddit, whatever. I'm sure there's another way or two to get a hold of us that I've forgotten about. Worst case scenario, you know, just Google Dork Sard's email address and send your pictures of fat dudes wearing the wine brawl, you know, to
him.
Hey,
I didn't see any of that. Why do I get fat dude pictures?
Why Google Dork when you can send a dollar to RU46 and I'll give you Sard's email address?
You son of a bitch. But I have
and
to
possibly
admit,
nude photos of Sard.
Oh my.
That's an extra 50 cents.
That's I'm done. That's what I've got. That's a show, sort of. kinda. I'm gonna hit play on this Hollow Black music now, or Halo Black. Hollow Back.
I was just gonna say, since when do we play Hollow Back Girl? Jesus.
Big
Christ.
Brother, attack! Attack him now!